I want to talk to you today about from the book of Jonah. Jonah. Where's my little cartoon? You see that? That's a Christian fish that Jonah has in the back of his vehicle. We all know the story of Jonah, who ended up in the belly of a great fish because he tried to run from God. And perhaps you've heard about another book that he wrote, not this one in the Bible, but the other one that he wrote. My second cartoon, it's called How to Run from God by Jonah. And the person reading it says, it just says don't. The book of Jonah is an intensely personal story of the of God's grace. And of God's grace not only for some wicked city called Nineveh, but God's grace also for a rebellious prophet by the name of Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. That means he knew God. He knew God's ways. He understood God's mercy and grace. He knew that God is a God of grace. But God still had to use some extreme measures to get Jonah's attention so that Jonah would repent and obey God. And as I go through this, I want you to notice how many times, depending on what version of the Bible you have, but notice how many times it says that God appointed or God arranged, and how God was behind all these things that happened to Jonah. For example, it said that God appointed Jonah to go and speak to this city of Nineveh. And as you know, I think you might know the story, though God told him to pronounce God's judgment to this city, Jonah hated those people. And he knew that if I go to them and they repent, God's going to forgive them. And I don't want them to be forgiven. I hate those people. So he runs in the opposite direction. And he gets onto a ship. And while he's on that ship, there's this huge storm that God arranged for this storm to come. And it threatened everyone on board the ship. And Jonah told them, you know, if you throw me overboard, the storm will calm. So they did, and it did. And then God arranged for this huge fish to swallow Jonah. And it's there in that fish that Jonah kind of comes to his senses and prays a prayer of repentance. And let me read it to you. It's in Jonah chapter 2, and this is from the Message. He said, "When my life was slipping away, I remembered God, and my prayer got through to you. I'm worshiping you, God, calling out in thanksgiving." And here it is. Here's the repentance. "And I'll do what I promised I'd do." So Jonah comes to a point where he realizes, I should not have run from God. He turns back to God, and he says, "I'll do what you asked me to do, I'll do what I promised." That's repentance, this change of mind. Salvation belongs to God. And after he says this prayer, it says, "Then God spoke to the fish, and it vomited up Jonah onto the seashore." And I'm sure Jonah smelled just great after that. I would suggest that if God wants to send you someplace or ask you to do something, that you don't hesitate or vacillate, because if you do, you might just end up smelling like fish vomit. But when you do stink, pray. Pray a prayer of repentance, and God will forgive you. Because God, our God, he's a God of second chances. And he gives Jonah a second chance. He gives us grace over and over and over again. And so he appoints, once again, he appoints Jonah, gives him a second chance, and he tells him to go to Nineveh. And guess what? This time, Jonah goes. I guess our man Jonah learned something. After disobeying God and becoming fish food and smelling like something a fish would spit up on the beach, Jonah got it. And this time he obeys him. And so he goes to the city, and it says that he shouts out to the crowd, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. And just as Jonah feared, the people of Nineveh believed God's message through Jonah, and from the most important person in that city to the least important person in that city, they all repented. And when God saw that they were sorry and that they were sincere and that they were willing to turn from their evil ways, God appointed that the city would not be destroyed. And that's where we pick up our text for today, Jonah chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Let me read that to you. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah. And he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away. I knew that you are a merciful, compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. By the way, here's our God. Merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. That's our God. I know that that's... Now, Jonah's complaining that God is that way. You are eager to turn back from destroying these people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive. If what I predicted doesn't happen. Jonah hates these people so much that he's complaining to God that God forgave them and didn't destroy them. That God saved them. Not only that, but God's going to make them look bad because he's a prophet and he prophesied that there was going to be a destruction, and now that destruction's not going to happen, that's not too good on his resume. And so he's not too thrilled. And then the Lord asks him a question. The Lord says, "Is it right for you to be angry about this?" Has God ever asked you that question? Have you ever been angry about something and heard God say to you, "Is it right for you to be angry about this? Is this righteous anger?" And how do you respond when God says, "Should you really be angry about this?" I'll tell you how we respond. We respond the same way that Jonah acted, same way that Jonah responded. He withdrew. We withdraw. We withdraw from God. We withdraw from people. We withdraw from the church. We withdraw when we get angry. And that's what Jonah does. Let's pick up the story in verse 5. Then Jonah went to the east side of the city all by himself. He makes a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for this leafy plant to grow there. And soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his comfort, or eased his discomfort. And Jonah was very grateful for the plant that God had given him. Right? It was a gift from God. He didn't grow the plant. Jonah didn't. But God also arranged for a worm. And the next morning, at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, now here we go with God arranging things again. God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. And the sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. Death is certainly better than living like this, he exclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to get angry because a plant died? Another good question. I gave you the plant. It wasn't your plant. It was a gift. Can I give a gift? And if it's my gift, can I take it back? Is it right for you to be angry because this plant died? Yes, Jonah replies. Even angry enough to die. And then the Lord said, you know, you feel sorry about a plant. Though you did nothing to put it there, it came quickly and it died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals in there. For you animal lovers, he says, not to mention all the animals there. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? Another good question. And so over and over again, we see how God appointed these things, arranged these things. And God appointed this plant to come to shade Jonah. And Jonah was very happy about it until a worm, also appointed by God, came and took care of that plant. And you think that God might be trying to tell Jonah something? You think God might be trying to tell him that God is sovereign, God is in control, and it's better to work with God, it's better to work with the one who is sovereign and in control, rather than to go against him. Are you getting that, Jonah? God shows mercy and grace to Jonah. He forgave him. He gives him a second chance. And it's mind-boggling, isn't it? I mean, any preacher, any pastor, any evangelist would be overjoyed if 120,000 people in a city repented after a sermon on a Sunday. Not Jonah. He's angry at God. He's angry that God showed mercy to these people. And he gets angry when this plant dries up and dies. God shows mercy and grace to Jonah through that fish, through this plant. It's grace. Jonah didn't deserve that plant. He was an undeserving guy. That's what grace is. The unmerited, undeserved favor of God to people. And that's what that plant represented. Grace of God. Yet when God removes the plant, Jonah is angry. In fact, the text tells us he was angry enough to die. It says in verse 9. And the Lord says to him, why are you feeling sorry for a plant? Shouldn't you care more about people's souls instead of your own comfort? Another good question. God has asked us similar questions. Sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves because some gift was taken away from us. Yet we don't have compassion for others. So what's the point? What's the lesson that we need to learn? And I think it's in God's response to Jonah. God points out to Jonah that instead of being bitter, instead of being angry, he should rejoice that Nineveh was not destroyed and that these people, 120,000 people, were saved. He should be rejoicing in that. Now stay with me here for a minute. This plant was created by God to give shade to Jonah. It was an act of grace, right? Jonah didn't deserve. He's an undeserving man. We don't deserve anything that God gives us, right? All good things come from God. Everything we have is from the Lord. It's not ours. God gave it to us, right? We're just supposed to take care of it because God gives it to us. But they're his. If he wants to take it back, he could take it back, right? It's his. At least that's how we should look at everything we have. There's nothing that we have that we earned or we somehow, you know, produced it ourselves. They're gifts from God. They're God, part of God's grace, part of God's blessing. And God blesses us whether we deserve it or not. Matter of fact, God blesses people whether they believe in him or not. God causes the rain to come on the just and the unjust. Let me read the whole scripture, the whole quote to you from Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. Grace. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. Grace. If you love only those who love you, big deal. What's the reward you should get? There should be no reward for that. Everybody does that. Even the corrupt tax collectors do that. Do that much. And if you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anybody else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. In other words, God is gracious to us over again, over again, over again, over again, over and over, over again. And he's gracious not just to us, but to all people. And God wants us to be like him. Therefore, we should be gracious to all people. And this represents, this plant represents a sort of grace, a sort of gift of God that we have. And let's be honest, how often do we forget that all that we have is from God? All that we have is given from him. And we don't really deserve them. They're blessings. We should be grateful for them. Jonah's happy. When he gets his blessing, when he gets grace from God, he's happy, he's rejoicing over that. But he's not so happy when God's grace is shown to other people. And keep in mind what we're talking about here. You know the jerk at your job who gets the promotion that you wish you would have got? God showed him grace. God gave him a blessing. Do you celebrate with him? Because God showed an undeserved person grace? To rejoice in the grace of God? You know, look at the grace of God. Don't look at the jerk. How about, you know, there's people there, they got everything, right? No, they don't seem to have any problems. They got the beautiful house and the beautiful vehicles. We're told not to be envious of them. Don't be angry that God is blessing them. But rejoice. It's an opportunity for you to rejoice in the grace of God. All we have is a blessing from God. It's easy to bless God when he's blessing us, right? Easy to praise God when he's giving us good things, blessing us, giving us grace. Not so easy when the unexpected troubles of life come. What happens then? We see that what happened in Jonah. You know, you see, the story of Jonah. Jonah's problem, that's our problem. Somewhere along the line, Jonah got to thinking that he somehow deserved what God was giving him. He somehow merited the gifts and the favor and the blessings of God. And the calling of God and the grace, that he deserved all those things. It was his right. And somewhere along the line, he forgot. It's God's grace. I'm undeserving. And he had to remember that. That plant that shaded Jonah was grace. And God comes to us and gives us grace. It's not our right. It's a gift. Jonah was happy, but he was complaining when it was no longer his. We do that. As Christians, we have to remember, as someone once put it, we're still in the land of the exiled. You know, like we're still not in heaven yet. We're still on earth. We're still dealing with spiritual warfare. And we're still required to carry our cross, and we're still required to go through times of difficulty and suffering, and sometimes suffering for the cause of Christ. And so when things happen, we should be more like Job than like Jonah. You remember Job, right? Went through all kinds of bad things that happened to him. And then he says this, in Job chapter 2, should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? Another good question. Back to Jonah chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Then the Lord says to him, you feel sorry about a plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and it died quickly. But Nineveh has 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, and not to mention the animals, and shouldn't you feel sorry for that great city? In other words, God is saying to him, Jonah, I caused a fish to swallow you. And then I caused it to puke you out on a beach, onto dry land. That's why you're alive today, because of that. I sent you to Nineveh. I gave you a second chance. 120,000 people got saved. And the only thing you can think about is this stupid plant. You see, Jonah causes us to look at the things in life from God's perspective, with the eternity in mind. And we need that so bad. That would change us. If we would look at things from God's point of view or with eternity in mind, it would change us. Things that are so important to us probably would stop it. Our priorities would change. What's important to us would change. Our character would change. God provides everything. But see, we get so captivated in the things that we get, that God has provided, that we start to care more about the things than about eternal souls of people. We start to care more about our own comfort than the salvation of people. We start to care more about the things God provides than the one who provided them. That's what happened to Jonah. And we're just like him. We can care more about, you know, Jonah's caring about his little piece of shade away from everybody and didn't care about the community around him. Here's the deal. Jonah got upset because the thing that gave him comfort and made him happy was something God gave him, not God himself. Got that? Do I need to say it again? You caught that, right? He was happy by the things that make him happy were the things that God gave him, not God himself. That's a danger. He had found happiness and comfort in the thing rather than in the one who gave him those things. And so God takes it away from him. Why does God take it away from him? To show Jonah where his affections were, and that they were in the wrong place. It's not just being mean to Jonah. Taking a plant, now I want to take it back. It's teaching him something. But it didn't really work because Jonah gets angry. And you know what I think? I think Jonah was angry because maybe he was seeing a little bit of himself for the first time. And he didn't like what he was seeing in himself. That maybe God was showing him who he really is. That he's selfish and self-centered and arrogant. And he still is worshiping idols, which is himself. Adoring himself rather than God. God brings difficulty sometimes to teach us about ourselves so that we can change. And so God's like, care about a plant? You're angry because I didn't smoke all those people and wipe them out? And you're angry because this plant died? And you have to sit in the sun? So God's rebuking him. And God gets in the last word and That's how the book ends. And here's how we apply this. Oftentimes, God wants us to do a work with Him so that we can see ourselves in the work. God gives us things to do, brings people into our lives, and gives us opportunities to serve because He wants us to see something about ourselves in that situation. You see, we tend to think that God is so impressed with me, you know? I mean, I got all these skills. I'm really doing great things for God. In reality, if we're honest, we probably don't love the way that we should. We probably don't care the way that we should. We probably don't understand grace the way that we should. But we won't see it until we kind of step out of ourselves, serve God, get involved in His mission, get involved in the lives of people, and then we'll get closer. As we get closer involved with people, God's going to use that to show you how you need to change. See, when we get involved with people and get involved in things, we always see how they need to change. That's not what God's trying to teach you, how they need to change. God's trying to teach you how you need to change. That's why He puts you through the situations that He puts you through. And so that's what happens. And God sends us out. Get involved with people. Get involved in my mission. And maybe through it all, not only will great things happen, but maybe you'll change too. In the process, you'll begin to see yourself and change yourself. And so God uses Jonah. Not because He couldn't find a better prophet. God uses Jonah because as God converts the sailors in that boat, and as God converts the people in Nineveh, He's working in Jonah as well. And it concludes with God taking Jonah on this journey through his self-righteousness and his rebellion and his anger and his racism. All for the purpose of trying to make Jonah the man of God that he's meant to be. So this is as much a story of God's grace in the life of Jonah as it is God's grace in the people of Nineveh. It's a story about humbling ourselves and giving glory to God. The purpose of the book of Jonah is to show God's glory. We are created to show God's glory. That's why you're here. That's why you exist, to know God and to show forth God's glory. How do you show forth God's glory? Here's what Jesus said. John chapter 17, verse 4. He was praying for us, by the way, to the Father when He said this in the prayer. Father, I brought glory to You here on earth. How? By completing the work You gave me to do. How do you give glory to God? How do you bring glory to God? What is God asking you to do? Are you running in the opposite direction? How do you bring glory to God? The question is, or the answer is, you bring glory to God by doing everything you do as if you were doing it for Jesus. That's how you bring glory to God. You bring glory to God so that everything you do is to complete the mission that God, the purpose, the plan that God has for your life. That's how you bring glory to God. You bring glory to God by being like Christ. You bring glory to God by worshiping God only, enjoying Him, obeying Him. You bring glory to God by loving others, especially one another. You bring glory to God by serving others with the gifts that God has given you. You give glory to God when you tell others about Jesus. That's how you give glory to God. So what has God asked you to do? What is God asking our church to do? What has He called us to do? What has He called you to do as an individual? What has He called you to do? Who has God called you to go to? What has God called you to do? The purpose of the book is to show forth God's glory. How are we showing it? How are we doing? Let's just pray together. And I will let you go downstairs and have some coffee and bagels. Let's pray. Would you stand with me? Matter of fact, maybe I can ask Pastor Nick to come and close for us. Would you do that, bro?